Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today we're strapping in for a deep dive into cloud security operations.
Ooh, sounds intense.
It is, but don't worry, we'll break it down. We're specifically looking at the security considerations you need to, well, you need to keep top of mind when you're working in the cloud.
Yeah, it's like, you know, setting up shop in a city that just happens to be floating in the sky.
Okay, I like that. Tons of possibilities, but...
But definitely some unique security challenges.
Right. And our guide for this deep dive, is this domain5.pdf.
Ah, yes.
A pretty hefty document. Covers a lot of ground.
It does.
But you've got us to kind of help sift through all the, you know, all the jargon.
We'll pull out the golden nuggets.
Exactly.
That's what we do.
So our goal is to help you understand that shared responsibility model.
Yeah, super important.
What you're responsible for as the cloud user.
Right.
And what falls on the shoulders of the cloud service provider.
Exactly.
We'll be talking about, you know, best practices, configurations, tools.
All the essentials to keep your data and systems safe up there in the cloud.
Okay, so this whole shared responsibility thing, the guide uses this analogy of renting an apartment.
Oh, yeah. I like that one.
You know, you handle securing what's inside your place. The landlord takes care of the building security.
Right, right.
But what does that actually look like in practice, I mean?
Okay, well, so in this scenario, you become the cloud consumer, right?
Okay.
And the landlord's role, that's filled by the cloud service provider, or CSP.
CSP, got it.
And just like a lease agreement, those... contracts and SLA, those service level agreements, those become super important.
Because they define the responsibilities.
They really do. They spell out who does what, when, how.
Like, would you sign a lease without knowing who's fixing that leaky roof?
Exactly. It's all right there in black and white.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing oversight is important too.
Oh, absolutely. You can't just assume the CSP is handling everything perfectly behind the scenes.
Right.
Just like you might check in with your landlord about building maintenance.
Uh-huh.
You want to keep an eye on your CSP. Maybe through third-party security assessments.
Okay.
Audits, you know, reviewing their security practices.
So making sure they're holding up their end of the bargain.
Exactly.
Now let's get a little more technical.
All right, let's do it.
The guide goes into hardware hardening.
Yeah.
Basically making sure that the physical hardware is configured securely.
Right.
But isn't that mostly the CSP's job?
For the most part, yes.
Okay.
They manage those physical servers, the storage, network devices.
Right, but the guide stresses that understanding this foundational layer is crucial, even for the cloud consumer.
Yeah, even if you're not directly managing it.
So it's more about awareness.
Awareness is key. It's about understanding the risks and how things work down there.
Got it.
For instance, the guide talks about securing the BIOS and the TPM.
The Trusted Platform Module.
Yeah. Now, most people think of the BIOS as just, you know, that initial screen you see when you boot up your computer. Right.
Right.
But it's way more important than that.
It's like the bedrock.
It is. It's the foundation of security. Think of it as the very first line of defense.
I see.
The BIOS, it verifies the integrity of your hardware and firmware during that boot process if it's compromised. Well, attackers could gain control of your system before even fully starts up.
Yikes. And the TPM, that's like a security chip, right? Built into the hardware.
Exactly. The TPM helps establish what we call a root of trust.
Root of trust?
Yeah, by generating and storing these cryptographic keys. And that makes sure the hardware hasn't been tampered with.
So it's like a digital fingerprint for the hardware.
Exactly. It helps you verify its authenticity.
So these are things like BIOS and TPM. These are things I should be asking my CSP about.
Definitely. You want to understand their security practices around these components.
Like, are they following certain standards?
Right. Like the NIST SP-800-147B for BIOS configuration.
Yeah.
Are they using TPMs to enhance the security of their infrastructure?
Mm-hmm.
You know, knowledge is power, even when you're not directly managing that hardware.
Yeah, that makes sense. And the guide also talks about storage controllers and network configuration. Is that more in my realm of responsibility?
Those are still primarily managed by the CSP.
Okay.
However, you do need to be aware of the potential risks.
Like what?
Like the dreaded SPOF, the single point of failure.
SPOF, right. Like if one cable gets cut and a whole data center goes offline.
Exactly. That's why understanding the CSP's architecture
and
their redundancy measures is so crucial.
So are they using multiple network connections, redundant power supplies?
Those are the questions you should be asking. Geographically diverse data centers.
Got it.
Yeah, all that good stuff.
And then there's this whole world of virtualization
Oh, yeah.
where multiple users share the same physical hardware.
Huh.
That sounds like a recipe for some security headaches.
It can be, but it's also what makes cloud computing so powerful and flexible. It's
right.
Like building this massive apartment complex in the sky, right?
Right.
Where tenants can rent different size spaces as needed.
I see.
And the key here. The key is the hypervisor.
Okay, the hypervisor. Isn't that the software that manages all the virtual machines?
You got it. It's like the building manager for your virtual apartment complex.
Okay.
Making sure each tenant stays in their own space.
Uh-huh.
Can't mess with their neighbors.
So the hypervisor acts as a security barrier between different users' virtual machines.
Exactly. Enforces isolation, access controls.
To make sure one tenant's applications can't access another tenant's data.
That's right. It's a critical component of cloud security. Mm-hmm. And understanding how your CSP configures and manages their hypervisors, that's paramount.
Okay. And the guide also mentions VPCs. Virtual private clouds.
Virtual private clouds.
Are those like mini clouds within the bigger cloud?
Think of them as exclusive penthouses within that massive sky-high apartment complex we were talking about. VPCs provide a way to carve out your own dedicated space within the public cloud.
I see.
Giving you more control over network configuration and security.
So it's an added layer of isolation and control.
You got it. If you're handling sensitive data or you need more granular control over your network, a VPC can be a good option.
But more control?
But of course, with great control comes great responsibility.
Yeah, you'll need to configure your VPC's security settings carefully.
Absolutely.
To make sure the data is protected.
Exactly.
Okay, so we've got the physical hardware, the virtualization layer.
We're moving up.
Even a taste of the network.
Uh-huh.
But the guide dives even deeper into network security.
Oh, yeah. Now we're getting to the good stuff.
That's where things get really interesting.
It does. It does. Network security is like, it's really the bedrock of cloud security.
Especially with the cloud being so open and accessible.
Right. It's like building a fortress around your virtual city in the sky.
Gotta keep those bad guys out.
Exactly. Making sure only authorized traffic is coming and going.
Okay, let's walk through those security layers.
All right, sure.
Where do we even begin?
Well, let's start with VLANs.
VLANs?
Yeah, virtual local area networks. Think of it like dividing your virtual city into distinct neighborhoods.
Okay, so like zoning.
Yeah, kinda. VLANs help isolate network traffic, right?
Yeah.
So a breach in one part of your network doesn't spread to others.
So it's about containing potential damage.
Exactly. You're containing it. And then for even larger deployments, those geographically dispersed cloud deployments, we've got VXLAN.
VXLAN.
Uh-huh. Virtual Extensible LAN.
That sounds complicated.
It's basically, you know, building bridges between those neighborhoods.
Okay.
Allowing secure communication even across vast distances.
So we're connecting our virtual neighborhoods across the entire cloud cityscape. I like these analogies.
Yeah, they paint a picture, right? But of course, we need more than walls and bridges.
We need some guards at the gates.
We do. That's where network security groups come in. NSGs.
NSGs, right. Those are like firewalls for the cloud.
You got it. They act as virtual security checkpoints.
Uh-huh.
You can control traffic flow between different parts of your cloud network.
I see. Oh.
Specify rules, you know, based on source and destination IP addresses.
Okay.
Ports, protocols, all that good stuff.
So I can block unwanted traffic from reaching my servers.
Exactly. Like setting up border patrol for your virtual city.
I love it.
Keeping the riffraff out.
Okay, so we've got VLANs, VXLAN, NSGs.
Layers of protection.
What about encrypting the data itself?
Oh, yes. We can't forget about TLS.
Transport layer security.
Right. Specifically TLS 1.3. That's the gold standard for encrypting data in transit.
Right. To keep our data safe as it travels across the network.
Exactly. Think of it like sending your data in an armored car, you know, ensuring it can't be intercepted or tampered with along the way.
Okay. That makes sense.
TLS 1.3, that's the latest and greatest armored car model.
So stronger armor, more sophisticated security features.
You got it.
So the takeaway here is to make sure our CSP is using TLS 1.3.
Absolutely. And keeping it up to date, of course.
Right, of course. Now, what about those basic services like DHCP and DNS? Are those still relevant in terms of security?
Oh, definitely. You'd be surprised how those seemingly basic services can be targets for attackers.
Really? DHCP and DNS, I mean, they're just responsible for IP addresses and domain names, right?
Right. But attackers can get crafty.
Like how?
Well, they can use things like DHCP spoofing to trick devices into connecting to rogue networks.
So they can steal information?
Exactly. And then there's DNS spoofing.
Which is?
It can redirect users to malicious websites, even if they type in the correct URL.
Oh, wow. So even those little things can be a big deal.
Exactly. Don't underestimate them. That's why technologies like DNS SEC are crucial.
DNS SEC.
Yeah, it adds digital signatures to DNS records, making it much harder for attackers to mess with things.
Okay, DNS SEC. Got it. Now, what about VPNs? Virtual private networks?
Ah, VPNs. Are those still relevant in the cloud?
They're more relevant than ever, especially with everyone working remotely these days.
Think of a VPN as a secure tunnel,
Yeah.
allowing you to access your cloud resources from anywhere,
Safely.
safely, without exposing your traffic to prying eyes.
So if I'm working from like a coffee shop, a VPN is a must-have.
Pretty much. It's highly recommended.
And there are different types of VPNs, right?
Yeah, you've got OpenVPN, IKEV2 IPsec, SSL VPNs.
And they all have their pros and cons.
Exactly. The best choice depends on your specific needs.
The guide also mentions something called software-defined perimeter, or SDP.
Ah, yes, SDP. That's a cool one.
Is that like a supercharged VPN?
It's like a VPN on steroids.
Okay, tell me more.
It takes a more granular approach, right? So it grants access to specific applications or resources
I see.
based on user identity and context.
So it's even more secure.
Yeah, the idea is to limit access to only what's absolutely necessary, reducing your attack surface.
Very cool.
It's a powerful approach to remote access security for sure.
So we've explored the physical hardware, the virtualization layer, and this intricate world of network security.
We've covered a lot of ground.
But it's clear that securing the network is absolutely paramount in the cloud.
Oh, absolutely. No question about it.
Okay, so we've spent the last two parts of this deep dive really building up our cloud security fortress.
We have. For the ground up.
Yeah, hardware network operating system. But what happens if things still go wrong?
Right, because things can happen,
Yeah, they do.
even with the best defenses.
So how do we investigate incidents in the cloud? Because it's not exactly like investigating, a traditional IT
No,
environment.
it's not. And that's where digital forensics comes in.
Digital forensics.
It's like that. It's basically detective work, but in the cloud.
Uh-huh.
But as domain5.pdf points out, the things that make cloud computing so powerful, like high availability and data replication, they can make forensics really challenging.
I bet it's like data's everywhere and nowhere at the same time.
Exactly. It can be spread across multiple servers, different countries even.
So where do you even begin?
Well, the key is having really strong logging and monitoring practices.
Okay, logs, right?
Yes, logs. They're like our digital footprints, you know. They provide a timeline of events that can be crucial
Yeah,
evidence.
I see. I see.
But of course, logs can be overwhelming.
Oh, yeah, tons of data.
Massive amounts of data generated every second.
How do you even make sense of it all?
That's where SIEM tools come in.
Siam, we talked about that before.
Right, security information and event
Right.
management,
Yeah.
they're like powerful search engines for your security logs.
Okay.
They centralize all that data, make it easier to spot those patterns and anomalies that might point to an incident.
So it helps us find those clues, like a digital magnifying glass for investigators.
Exactly. But even with the right tools, there are unique challenges in the cloud.
Like what?
Well, think about the shared responsibility model.
Right.
You, as the cloud consumer, you don't have direct access to the underlying infrastructure.
So I can't just like go in and grab the evidence myself.
Exactly. You might need to rely on the CSP for some aspects of the investigation.
So communication and cooperation are key.
Oh, absolutely. Clear procedures for incident reporting, data preservation,
Yeah.
and don't forget about the legal stuff, data privacy, jurisdictional issues.
That's a lot to consider.
It is. It's a whole new ballgame.
And the guide also talks about incident response in the cloud.
Right.
How is that different from traditional incident response?
Well, everything moves so much faster in the cloud.
Yeah, it's all about speed.
Right, so detection, containment, eradication.
Right.
It all needs to happen much faster to minimize the damage.
So we need a plan, a good plan.
Absolutely. A well-defined cloud incident response plan,
Okay.
outlining roles, responsibilities, communication protocols, escalation procedures.
So everyone knows what to do.
Exactly. It's like having a playbook for your security team.
Got it. And expertise is even more crucial in cloud incident response, I imagine.
Oh, without a doubt. You need skilled security professionals who understand the cloud inside and out.
Right. They need to be able to analyze those cloud-specific logs, use the right tools.
Absolutely. It's a specialized skill set.
And speaking of expertise, the guide talks about the Security Operations Center.
The SOC.
Yeah, what exactly is that?
Think of it as your cloud security command center,
Okay.
a dedicated team a facility focused on 247 monitoring, threat detection, incident response.
So like a security nerve center.
Exactly. But setting up a SOC can be a big investment, especially for smaller companies.
I bet.
So there's also the option of using an MSSP.
An MSSP?
Yeah, a managed security service provider.
Okay.
They provide SOC services on a subscription basis.
Makes sense.
So it's a way to access that expertise and technology without having to build it all yourself.
So it's like outsourcing your security operations.
You got it. They can handle things like threat monitoring, vulnerability management, even compliance auditing.
That's a great option for companies that don't have the resources to do it all in-house. Okay, so we've got forensics, incident response, the SOC. And finally, the guide wraps up by talking about standards and frameworks.
Yeah, important stuff.
But there are so many. ISO 27001, SOC2, PCI DSS. How do I even know where to start?
It's not about adopting every single one. It's about choosing the ones that align with your specific needs.
Okay.
Your industry, your business, any regulatory requirements you might have.
So like if I'm handling credit card data, PCI DSS is a must.
Exactly. Healthcare, high PA.
Got it. So it's about finding the right fit.
Exactly. And it's an ongoing process, you know?
Yeah.
You need to constantly assess, adapt, improve.
To keep up with the changing landscape.
Exactly.
Well, I think that brings us to the end of our cloud security deep dive.
Wow, we really went deep.
We did. We covered a lot from physical hardware to incident response.
And everything in between.
But I think the key takeaway here is that cloud security is a shared responsibility.
Couldn't agree more.
It's a multi-layered approach and it takes a lot of work.
But it's worth it.
It is. I feel much more prepared now to navigate this whole world of cloud security.
That's what we like to hear.
Thanks to domain5.pdf, and of course, thanks to you.
You're very welcome. It was my pleasure.
All right, that's it for this episode of The Deep Dive. Thanks for joining us, and be sure to tune in next time for another deep dive into, well, into whatever fascinating topic we uncover next.
Always an adventure.